I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The provincial election is Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2013. This is the third election campaign where I've invited all the candidates in the riding of Vancouver-Kensington to come on the program and chat about the issues and more. Clockwise, the riding's northern borders are 16th to Fraser and Kingsway to Nanaimo. Its eastern border is Nanaimo to 49th Avenue, 49th Avenue south to Main Street, and up Main from 49th to 16th Avenue. This year, like in 05 and 2009, I've extended invitations to all four candidates running. I've already talked to the NDP candidate and hope to arrange times to speak to the BC Conservative and Green Party candidates. Gabby Callow joins me now. He is the BC Liberal candidate in Vancouver-Kensington. The morning after the leaders' debate, we'll look at the campaign so far, the issues, and more. Mr. Callow was born in the Philippines and came to Richmond at an early age. He attended Acadia University in Nova Scotia and was the managing editor of the student newspaper, whose name I can't pronounce.
The Athenaeum.
Whatever. You can say it better than I can. He worked with the organization Journalists for Human Rights in West Africa. He's a business development manager for a telecommunications software company and is a board member of the Friends of Bloedel Conservatory and the Kitsilano Chamber of Commerce. He was an NPA candidate for Park Board in the last municipal election in 2011. Visit gabbycallow.ca for more information. Please welcome to the Plante on the Line program in studio today, Gabby Callow. Mr. Callow, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joseph. Thank you for having me on the show today. It's great and exciting to be here.
Thanks for coming in to do this. I appreciate it. Are you related to the Callows that we know in Filipino politics, like Teodoro Callow and Eva Estrada Callow?
Actually, we're all from the same clan. So yeah, we are. It's a funny thing. I think all Callows come from the same province. We're all from Batangas, and we're all from actually the same city originally. So yes, we are related. I don't know them personally, and yeah. I never got a chance to meet them because they were much before my time. And also, having grown up here, I was always focused on being what it's like to be Canadian. So, but yes, we are related. It's the same blood and the same entrepreneurial spirit that runs through us all.
So what did you make of last night's leaders' debate? How did you think your leader did?
You know what I was doing? I know that I had every confidence in Premier Christy Clark's abilities in the debate, and I think she did well. But I will be honest, I was busy out there meeting people on the doorstep. And it was great to see a lot of people watching the debate and had some comments on it. And from what I heard at the doors while they were watching, people were pretty pleased and thought that she looked and sounded and acted like a premier and like a leader of the province. And that's what you want to see. That's exactly what you want to see in a debate, because there's a lot of people who want to who are looking at that debate as an opportunity to see how people will perform as a representative for the province. And I think she did very well.
A lot of people listening to us aren't from this riding, from Vancouver-Kensington, so I'm curious to know what she's like. I mean, you've gotten a chance to know her, campaign with her, work with her. What are your impressions of Christy Clark and whether she ought to be there after the 14th as Premier of the province?
Oh, I have every certainty that she ought to be there after the 14th. You know, I will tell you... You mentioned I ran for Park Board. After I ran for Park Board, I was very... it's an exhausting thing to run through a campaign, and I was wondering what I would do if... I was wondering whether I should put my name forward or not for Vancouver-Kensington, as had some people in the riding had suggested. And at first, I was hesitant about it because we all know what the BC Liberals' fortunes looked like in the media. But when I met the Premier and I had a chance to talk with her, I have no doubt in my mind that this was a leader, because every leader needs to have that vision for a province, for what they want to accomplish, the plan to get there, and the diligence and the focus that's required in such a media and social media environment that we have now. So, you know, I'm very impressed by her laser-focused vision for this province and her ability to pull it through. So I have every confidence in her as a leader.
Is the question that we should ask ourselves when we go in to mark our ballots on the 14th, really, whether we should trust Adrian Dix and the NDP?
Well, I think that the question there on the ballot is, what is it you want? Do you want that Adrian Dix and the NDP's spending habits, which they've proven time and again. And as we know, as Edmund Burke had mentioned, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Or do we want to grow our economy and look for a vision? We've got something great going for us right now. I mean, when you look at Vancouver-Kensington, you've got a great riding here that really exemplifies what we've seen in BC. We've got Fraser Street, Main Street, and Victoria Drive, three thriving small business districts that a lot of small families have moved close by to, so that they can walk to their grocery stores, their coffee shops. There was just an article in, was it The Province this weekend, about how coffee shops are a great indicator of up-and-coming areas. And that's what you see in Vancouver-Kensington. Now, that is courtesy of a strong economy. That's courtesy of, you know, great government habits that have enabled people to grow their business, put money in their pockets, and spend it at those little business shops. Now, if we put an NDP government forward, you know, those businesses are at risk, and those character shops, you know, may not be able to survive under higher tax rates, because we know that Vancouver is an expensive city. So it's, you know, those are the questions we do have to ask. Do we trust the NDP to do something new? Everybody in the NDP is still the same people. It's Adrian Dix, you know, Mo Sahota, Mike Farnworth, and the same group of people making the same decisions. They haven't changed. Whereas in the BC Liberal Party, we've got renewed candidates. We've got great number of people who are under the age of 40 bringing fresh ideas. We have at least a third of the party. I think it's 50 candidates that are new compared to, you know, people who, you know, were new, we've never run before, compared to a lot of seasoned union types in the NDP. And I think those are a lot of questions we have to ask. In the end, the question on the ballot is, do you want to grow your economy and keep building on what we have now? Or do you want to put that at risk?
Now, you mentioned, you know, that your party has gone through some renewal. It's changed its leader. It has these new candidates, such as yourself. But the premier, there's still a lot of apprehension about your party and the premier. She's been there 2 years. She hasn't closed the gap, if you will. I mean, the poll numbers suggest that this party won't be forming the next government. What have you guys done wrong?
Actually, I don't think we've done anything wrong. I think there are some community, you know, there's ways that there's always room for improvement, and there's ways that we can communicate better with our successes. In the media environment we have now, it's, you know, everything's always under scrutiny. I mean, every little thing you do can be tweeted out the same minute that it happens. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't even respond to an action when people begin criticizing you. I think what we have more is that it's a different environment to operate in, and we are in a different era. And that's why you need to have that renewed team in front of you. And I think that's why we need to be able to bring those fresh ideas and fresh ways of working with people here, you know, in government. So that includes having new candidates, and includes having candidates that are able to communicate with their constituents.
We met in December, and you told me that this race would be close, that you in Kensington, that you would surprise a lot of people. You've gone into the race as the underdog. Is it still the case now?
Oh yeah. I will be the underdog right to the end of this. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Again, you know, in this media environment, we're passing judgment on a. It's funny because we're passing judgment on a government that has already changed. So we actually have a new government in there. Mm-hmm. Under Premier Christy Clark, and you know, so we have new bodies there, new people that are also bringing something new to the table, and I will be the underdog because my opponent has had 4 years of 4 years of time to build up her rapport with the neighborhood. And yeah, and that's going to be the question for a lot of constituents in Vancouver-Kensington. Yeah. You know, as much as you want to judge the people, the government that's been in there, we need to also ask ourselves, how well has our local MLA been doing?
And how do you think she's been doing?
Well, I think that she can improve. I think that everybody wants to see their MLA communicate better with their constituents there, and I would say that I can do a better job than she's done. I'm confident in that.
Now, the riding is NDP federally. Vision Vancouver does well in this part of town. She won the riding. Mabel Elmer won the riding of 52.5% the last time. How do you overcome all of that? I mean, the only time that your party's won this riding was in 2001, but that was an aberration because thinking about how unpopular the NDP was at the time. So how do you overcome all this? I mean, you're going into this, as you said, the underdog, but there's a lot of opposition to your party, and I would assume your party's ideals.
It's funny you say that. The riding itself, federally, is split up between Kingsway and Vancouver South. So it's not actually a totally NDP riding, you would think. Uh-huh. Also, there has been a lot of, as I mentioned, a lot of new families that have moved in here. And I think there's been enough change in the riding, change economic growth and movement demographically, that we can look at this as a true swing riding. And that's what I'm looking to show, that we have that chance here. Now, what makes me mostly the underdog, I think, is that media environment. And so we'll see on May 14th what the people here find is in their best interest. And that's what will determine where this riding will go this election.
When you're door knocking or you're on the street meeting voters, do they, and they find out that you're a BC Liberal, do you get a lot of negative feedback because of that?
It's funny because you did say that you would think this is an NDP riding.
Yeah.
So the answer is no. Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of positive feedback saying that, yes, you know what? You are working in the interests of what we want. When I ask people how their neighborhood's doing, they say it's great. And I said, and I can tell them, I can share with them day after day that, why do you think this neighborhood is doing so well? And everybody knows, everybody understands, it's because we've got a strong economy in a fragile global environment. And we can have these things like coffee shops and great growing neighborhoods on Fraser Street, Victoria Drive, etc., because the economy matters.
Mabel Elmer was here in the last hour or so, and she says that she'd like the opportunity to debate you. There have been, I guess, one or two debates, and they've been canceled because your party hasn't sent you along. Is that correct?
There has been one debate, and it wasn't in our riding, so we didn't go. Yeah. Because, you know, my priority during this campaign is to connect with people in the riding. That's always the priority, because my first job as an MLA, first and foremost, is always to connect with your constituents. And I think that's the most important thing to do right now. And I'm always happy to have a debate if it's in this riding and with, you know, organized by a association in the riding.
So you're not averse to debating her or the other candidates?
Not at all.
No.
In fact, I mean, I was already in a debate on the environment, you know, at the Rio Theater prior to the writ.
Yeah. Kai Nagata, I guess, was the moderator of that. He mentioned that on Facebook last night.
Yeah, Kai, and he was a great guy. It was great to meet him, and it was an environment that, you know, no doubt was a little hostile to the Liberal cause, but I was happy to be there, so I can tell you that I'm up for anything.
Yeah. Now, much has been written about this campaign in Kensington. And if they do write about you guys and what's going on here, it has to do with the fact that you and Ms. Elmore are both Filipino. There have been some people in the Georgia Strait who've said that you were foolish to run, that it's a betrayal of some sort, and that the community is divided. Is that your sense of how things are?
It's funny, because that's the thing I fully expected to hear. And is that the sense of the way things are? I wouldn't say that that's what things are on the ground. That's what people would want you to believe. The reality is, every community, because we're Canadians and we come here for the ability to choose our futures, every community always wants choice. And they want to be able to choose from what represents their community best as well. And I think we represent, being NDP and BC Liberal, two very different philosophies on how we want to approach in government. And that's what people are voting on. You know, in the community itself, you know, Filipinos have always voted Liberal, you know, in the past. So it was only natural and to be inclined to want to have, if you can have a Filipino NDP representative, to want to have a Filipino be representative in the BC Liberal Party as well. And what better way to bring attention to politics in Canada for the Filipino community than to have two Filipinos run in the same riding and show that there is a choice in the matter.
And I guess it is a historic moment, isn't it, that you can't say that the Filipino community votes for one party, that they vote, they're just as nuanced in their voting preference as any ethnic community or the general population itself.
Exactly. And in fact, there was a study just recently, I believe it was in the Globe and Mail, you might have to correct me there, but showed that voting patterns actually don't have any particular slant towards ethnicity at all. Yeah. And it is very much more tied to other things, such as income, such as job preference, just regardless of what community people come from. And so it's great to hear that, because it shows that we as Canadians are looking at what helps us best in our daily life, and we are making the choices that are important to us rather than important to just where we come from. Because the way I look at it, the way I'm sure most people here look at it, is that Canada's our home, and what we're focused on now is how to be Canadian, how to have a good Canadian government, and how our kids are going to fare in this Canada that we're creating. And that includes British Columbia and right here in Vancouver, Kensington.
So why did your party compose this quick wins memo?
The quick wins memo?
Yeah, I mean, that whole controversy about, it seemed to me, in reading that and seeing all the reports on that, that your party tend to have looked at getting votes because of certain ethnic groups and looking at certain ethnic communities as voting blocks.
I think that's...
was that a mistake?
I don't think it was called quick win. I think the mistake is calling it a quick win.
Yeah.
I think the reality is that outreach is important for any organization, and that's something that everybody does. Outreach is important for any group that's marketing to their customers, any group that is looking out to reach to their nonprofit clients, and it is especially important to a government. So working with the different communities that are out there should be the prerogative of government, and that's exactly what they were doing. Now, for a memo to talk about how you're going to reach out to the community, I think that's pretty standard. And to make an issue of ethnicity, actually, I think does a disservice to all Canadians, because we all come from different ethnic backgrounds. And I think ethnicity is irrelevant in that issue.
When you're meeting voters, door knocking and the sort, what are they concerned about? What do they tell you their priorities are?
The two things that come out as priorities time after time in this riding are, one, the economy. People are concerned about the economy. People want to make sure that we have jobs that are coming in the economy and in the neighborhood. And in this neighborhood, people really do care about their character districts here. So that's one. And the second thing is childcare. Childcare is an important issue for a lot of the families here. I mean, what really binds this riding are the different schools, the elementary schools and the high schools that we have here, and the families that move here to be close to those schools. So childcare and childcare is that issue right now, because a lot of those families have young children.
And so what's this came up in the debate last night, your party, your government, is doing what with regards to childcare? There's a grant or a bonus or something like that?
Well, for childcare, what we are doing is we're providing a $1,200 RESP, Registered Education Savings Plan grant to parents with children born since 2007. And this is a huge opportunity for people, and most people, I don't think everybody quite realizes right away off the bat. Once they think about it, they do. But how important that is, because with a $1,200 education grant, we're encouraging everybody to start saving for their children's education. We are encouraging everybody to participate in that savings process for their children. I mean, $1,200 by the time that person's 18, and if the parents are contributing even just $25 a month, they'll have enough to at least pay for 1 year of school, or at least a semester of school. And that will could be enough alone to guarantee that their child has a certificate or a diploma for a job that will help them earn an income. That makes very productive. That makes very productive students. Very productive citizens for British Columbia.
These campaign days must be long for you, but you enjoy it.
I love it. I think it's great, especially in this riding. No doubt that we have a lot of diversity in this riding. Every day, I say hello in a minimum of 6 languages.
Really?
Yeah, and it's you meet so many different kinds of people campaigning. You meet they totally run the gamut of not just blue collar and professional, but also the varying experiences. We have a lot of immigrants in this riding, people who are first generation immigrants, and I can relate to that because I'm a first generation immigrant myself, and understand how people face these challenges and how frustrating it can be when you're starting over. And that's something I like to bring in and to relate to. With their challenges, because we all come to Canada with that dream of better opportunity for ourselves and a better future for our children, and that's the one thing we always want to keep in focus. Under an NDP government, we're going to be moving away from that focus of that better future and looking at our immediate now. And we, as first generation immigrants, often come here, make that sacrifice. And to have that better future. And when we start focusing on just what we need immediately right now, we are doing that at the cost of that future for the children. So it's very exciting to meet a lot of people and hear their stories from where they come from. I meet a lot of parents with their children every day, and they get excited about how great a neighborhood this is and how well they've been doing because of a good economy. And they are concerned about leadership. They are concerned about what will happen if we go back to spend first, pay later environment, because a lot of people in the neighborhood are young professionals now and have seen what happens around in the rest of the world. And a fragile economy does exist out there globally, and we are very fortunate. And people are realizing that now, that we have something that we can build on. We have something that we can dream on, and we want to be able to take advantage of that and seize that opportunity rather than squander it.
I appreciate you coming in today. It's good to see you again. Good luck with the rest of the campaign.
Oh, well, Joseph, hey, it's great. Great to see you again, likewise. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much. It was a great time.
You're very welcome. GabbyCallow.ca is the website for more. Gabby Callow is the BC Liberal candidate in Vancouver, Kensington. He joined me in studio. I'm Joseph Planta.